Okay, everybody, I hope, hold on, there we go. Everybody's doing well. Welcome to, welcome back to part two of our Preparing for Pesach series. I just wanted to first thank everybody. There was a lot of Shilohs and questions that came in last night after our shiur. It was really great to hear so many questions and to do some more research. So I just want to first go over a few things. And then what I would like to do is do a quick overview of the Seder. I mentioned last night, and even did a little session with my students today, that some people are having Seder really for the first time by themselves. Maybe they never ran the Seder. Maybe they haven't, maybe they weren't the Baal HaSeder. So this is a chance to, a challenge, but also an opportunity to do things in your own unique way and to just know the basic halachos, but also to give it some feel. You have 2 weeks from tomorrow night is the first Seder. So you really get a chance to prepare a little bit. Okay, so here's what I would like to start with. I first want to go over a few things from last night, a few updates that I got. I spent some time today, more cautious people, some more post-skim. So let me first do a quick update on some things. And then again, any questions during the shiur, feel free to either WhatsApp or text me, and hopefully we'll be able to address them directly. And of course, we're always available for any questions. The first thing is, I mentioned last night about the knobs on the oven about covering them. I did some research today and found that if you really spray them down and clean them well, then you could use them for Pesach without covering them. So even though some people have new, if you've never made Pesach, you're not ordering new knobs. Just clean them off really well. Use a little spray, some type of disinfectant, a little bit to get rid of any chametz that might be on there. And then that would be okay to use them on Pesach. One more just quick note about kashering. When you're kashering, it's important that you should have big pots and little pots. Big pots of water can cover big areas, and small pots of water can cover smaller areas. So it's important when preparing your kashering that you have a different size pots to allow different spaces and different nooks and crannies within your sink, within your countertops, so that everything can be done smoothly. Okay, a few more things. The koshering of silverware. Again, just to review from last night, it's okay to use any pot. Whatever pot you use has to, number one, not be used for 24 hours, and whatever you're koshering cannot be used for 24 hours. So any item you want to use should be set aside, whether that's silverware, whether that's a kiddush cup, and not used for 24 hours. And then the pot that you use as well should not be used for 24 hours. It's easier to use a Pesach pot if you're just already having your Pesach a kitchen, but you could technically do any of those things now. You just have to be very careful that if you kosher anything, and if it's for Pesach, you don't put it down on a chametz counter, on a chametz table when you do the koshering. A few more just updates. Hold on, let's pull the bag. Here we go. A few more updates. One thing I want to mention as well is that a table should be wiped down. It is preferable, like what we do is after we wipe down like the dining room table or the kitchen table, take a plastic Shabbos table cover, even if you don't want to use them in general, but you can put it just underneath your Pesach tablecloth. Now, tablecloths don't need to be Pesach. You can just wash them in hot water, and you're good to go. Vinyl tablecloths cannot be used. But any other tablecloth, a regular fabric tablecloth, wash it in hot water, and you can use it. Just put a plastic tablecloth, cover sheet underneath it, and you're good. Wipe down chairs. We often forget about. In our house, we always forget about the chairs until it's like 10:52. Just wipe. You should make sure to wipe down your chairs, especially if you're eating in the dining room for the last few days before Pesach. Right before you're really fully kosher for Pesach, make sure to really wipe them down well. And also, you need two things for your kitchen that reminded me we forgot to say last night. You need new racks, inside your sink, whether for putting down, milchik or fleishik pots and whatever dishes in your sink. And you need new drains in your sink. You need new drains within your milchik and fleishik sink. You should just replace them you don't have to throw the old ones out. You can keep them for after Pesach. But you should get new ones for Pesach. I misspoke when I spoke about frozen orange juice. Frozen orange juice is okay for Pesach. Another thing I forgot about, benchers. We always forget about benchers. The benchers that you use should not be used on Pesach. It is preferable to put them away. They are full of chametz. You can't imagine that they are not. Use the Haggadahs for benching, or maybe take off from the bar mitzvah or the ufruf. The extra 1,000 that you have, you can now use for Pesach. If you have babies or that are using formula or baby or things like that, those should be washed and cleaned in the bathroom, not in your regular sink. Those stuff contains kitniyos in them. We're very lenient on them, obviously, for children, but they should not be washed in your regular sink. One more interesting shaila, and then I want to talk about tefillas kelim for a second. One more interesting shaila about haircuts. Many people, as we're recommending, not to go get new clothes for Pesach, are most likely not going to get haircuts for Pesach. That presents, obviously, a challenge, because that means that you're not getting a haircut for a very long time. So while that might be the case, there are two possibilities. Number one, don't go get a haircut. It's not worth going out. It's not worth being around people. It's not worth anything. It's better to stay home and grow out your hair for now. If things have eased by April 24th, which is Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and Rosh Chodesh on a Shabbos, on a Friday, Arab Shabbos, we're allowed to take haircuts. So that would be one possibility this year that we would all be lenient on, even if it wasn't anything happening. And if it doesn't ease up by then and it eases up later, there's a lot of room for leniency to get haircuts and to shave during Sfira, as Rabbi Soloveitchik would offer his opinion, which many of his Talmidim don't follow. But we would be lenient this year because the Rav felt that the Avelos, the mourning during Sfira, is only like a mourner of 12 months. A mourner in 12 months after Shloshim, after 30 days, can get a haircut and shave whenever they would like. So Rabbi Soloveitchik viewed the Avelos in that status. And therefore, we would definitely be lenient. But we will discuss that when the time comes. I want to just address for a minute Tfilas Kelim. I got a few more questions today about how to go about the what to do with Tfilas Kelim. So a few people actually today asked me about going to the beach. So last night I recommended against it. If you're okay with it and you don't mind and you want an outing and you have we, Baruch Hashem, do have an opportunity to be near a easy body of water. If that suits you and you're okay with that, that would be good. If you do not want to do that, and that is okay and understandable, then what we do is the Shulchan Aruch tells us we transfer ownership to a non-Jew. So while it's not reasonable, and I want to make that clear, this is not something that can be relied on just at whenever we want. This is really only because of the standards of social distancing and in the best interest of our health. When you declare a new utensil, whatever it is that you bought, as ownerless, number one, you really have to have full intent that you are making that ownerless. You have to feel this pot, this silverware, this new thing that I bought, it's not mine. And if somebody were to come take it from me, I would really be okay with that. You should make the declaration to three people, preferably people that live in our neighborhood, not your block, or not even just Lincoln or Skokie, whatever, in the larger Chicago area would be preferable, so that one of them, Rev Schefter said, would have the potential opportunity to acquire that item, and two could witness it. And if it can be done in front of three people, it doesn't have to be done just in front of them. You could declare it in an email. You could put it out on Twitter, Instagram. I don't know if you want out there on social media that you've declared all of your items ownerless. That is on you. But if you want to send an email to three people that are non-related, preferably kosher witnesses, that I'm declaring these ownerless, that is the way to go about it. So again, if you could go to a beach and you're fine and you feel that's okay for you, you could do that. If you want to use this leniency, which Rav Schefter has ruled is okay, and I'm okay with it, then you should declare it ownerless, mean it, do it in front of three people in an email or a text or somewhere, three people that are preferably in your neighborhood and that could potentially come get that item. Okay. So let's move, as this focus tonight really is going to be, just to move to the Seder itself. Those are some of the questions. I'm sure you have more. I'm happy to take more at the end. You can text them in, or we can... one more also question I got today about Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, there is a minhag, obviously, of to fast, and there's going to be a difficulty, obviously, because no shuls are open and no one's having a siyum. So there is no mandate to just fast. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a siyum over Zoom. Many shuls will be doing that. There's already leniency not to fast in general. But this way we can still maintain the custom in the minog, the very strong minog to make a siyum. So Erev Pesach in the morning, we'll have a siyum. Other places will have a siyum. There'll be a many, many Zoom siyum that you can participate in. There's great resources online. If you want to make your own siyum, you can finish a Gemara between now and in 2 weeks. You can do it on your own. I could send you the links. There's a bunch of rabbanim that have put on easy ways to make your own siyum. So if that interests you, wonderful. Okay, so let's talk about the Seder for a little bit. And along the way, I'll share a few Haggadah Divrei Torah. But next week, we're going to do the real Haggadah Divrei Torah share. Some thoughts to share at the Seder. And hopefully, I went to do it last night. But hopefully, either later tonight or tomorrow morning, I'm going to share a resource page of things where you can find. So let's go over the Seder itself. Some things you have to make sure you have. You need a shank bone. You can buy them. Jew will have them. Hungarian will have them. Romanian will have them. You can buy them. You'll have to roast them. You need an egg that is boiled and then roasted. You can use the same for both nights of the Seder. Assuming you're not going to the glasses, most of us will have the two Sedarim this year. Okay? For those that have a minhag to eat eggs at the Seder, at Shulchan Aruch, boil them before Pesach. Don't start at the meal trying to now boil eggs for the minhag to eat the eggs at the Seder. Have them ready to go. You need romaine lettuce. You can buy romaine lettuce. You can get it from Star Kosher Catering if you want a lot of romaine lettuce. They have it pre-washed, pre-cut, and everything. And whatever you need for karpas, potatoes, celery, whatever you may use. Okay, so let's go over. I'm going to do a quick rundown from Erev Pesach through the Seder. And along the way, go over some halachos and some thoughts about this year in particular. Okay. Erev Pesach, obviously, we're going to burn the chametz. More details forthcoming about how we're going to do that this year. Still under discussion about what proper way we are going to dispose of our chametz. But you have to burn the chametz. You have to make sure, because you're not going to the public burning, where there's like 1,000 sheets that are reminding you to declare your chametz ownerless, you have to make sure you do that. I feel like it's going to get forgotten, because usually you hear everybody's yelling it out at the burning. Besides the guy throwing in his challah wrapped in 18 jewel bags for some reason, you also have to make sure that your chametz is declared ownerless of kol chamira. So put a reminder on your phone. You can only do that through the morning, through the fifth hour of the morning. So that you have to do that. That is bitul chametz, and everyone in your household should do it. Men, women, children, even my students that are not bar mitzvah age. I told them, you own chametz, you bought chametz, you have your own money, you should really do your own bitl. So make a reminder to make sure that you're mevatel the chametz Pesach morning. And also, as I'm sure we will get, I would imagine, upwards of 30 emails from 18 organizations, 12 and 12 kolels, to make an Erev Tavshilin. This year you need an Erev Tavshilin because it's a 3-day yontif. We're going from Friday straight to Shabbos. If you didn't realize it was a 3-day yontif yet, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I just brought that on you, but we're basically in like a 6-week Yom Tov now. So not that much different. But yeah, you need an Erev Tavshilin. You should spend as much time as you can, Erev Pesach, getting everything ready. Especially, you know, the table, which the Shulchan Aruch Paskins should be ready to go. Your table should be set so that you are you're able to start right away. You should get your matzah, your romaine lettuce. I'll send out a link for the shiurim. You should get it already. What we do Erev Pesach in our house, my kids sit on the floor. They measure out the matzah needed for each person's shiur, for motzi matzah, for korech, the mar. It's all put in bags. So that the moment you get there, you're not sitting there around the table trying to divvy it up and measure it out and do everything. Get it ready. You have the whole Erev Pesach. No one's doing anything. Cut it up. Break it up, do whatever you need to get the shiurim ready and put it in bags and put wine in the fridge, whatever else you need. One thing I think is important to do between now and between Pesach is to plan. If you really haven't done the Seder on your own and you want to maybe do things your own way, everything is open. The goal of the Seder is just to have fun. It's not just to share Divrei Torah. Torah is great. The goal of the Seder is educational. It is a fun, no matter if it's one person, the Gemara says, or 100 people. No matter if you're 100 years old or you're 5 years old. The goal of the Seder is an experiential, unbelievable, magical night. And it will be different that it's not, as many people as we might be used to. But we never know. It could provide unique opportunities in which we're running it now, where we're We're on our own. Maybe I've heard from people last Shabbos, they never learned more Chumash. They never shared more Divrei Torah last Shabbos than they have. I hope they don't mind if I quote them. But the Riegers told me how amazing their Shabbos was. That we hope it doesn't be like that every Shabbos. I can't wait to get back to Shul. It pains me every day. But we don't know what opportunities provide themselves in this unique, never had before situation that we find ourselves in. So plan. Do you want to buy Makos things? Look on Amazon, Rosenblums, Kesher Stam online. They might have all, there's a ton of stuff and games to engage. Think about it now. I would plan it now. Think of activities. It's not only Divrei Torah. And, especially people with kids, no matter how old, the kids this year are not coming with the same Divrei Torah that they usually do. Teachers are trying, schools are trying, but they're going to feel like they didn't have as much as last year. Last year, my stack was this big, and this year my stack is only this big. So we have to make sure that it's not just about the Divrei Torah. It's about engaging them. I'll just tell you a great story. There was a kid in the Gush who was staying in the Gush for Pesach one year. So Rav Amital, the great Rav Amital, Zechatzalag Lebrach, invited this kid to his Seder. This kid he's freaking out. He's freaking out. Rav Amital is a tzaddik ador. He's a Rosh Hashiva. He knows everything. And he spent the week or two before Pesach in the Gush Beis Medrash, Yomam Valaila, writing down halachos, Divrei Torah, doing whatever he can to prepare himself mentally. I remember I once ate by Rav Schechter for a meal. I met a few times, but my first time eating by Rav Schechter, I was so nervous. Like, he's going to ask me for a Divrei Torah. What am I going to tell him? What I saw on H.com? So this kid, he prepares 2 weeks for Rav Amital Seder. So they daven in the Gush Beis Medrash Seder night. They go to Rav Amital's house, and Rav Amital, they go around the table. Rav Amital takes out birthday hats. He gives everyone a birthday hat. They put the string around their necks, and he sings Yom Huledet La'am Yisrael. And that's how Rav Amital began his Seder. The survivor, the person who restarted the learning in the Gush, who was the founder, one of the major players in religious Zionism. He started his Seder with Yom Huledet La'am Yisrael. And that is a very, very important thing. The Seder night should be fun. It should be engaging. No, you know what the best thing is? I realize today, no one's going to be at Shul on the first day arguing what time you ended. Okay? No, what time did you end? Oh, you only ended at 1? We went to 1:15. No one's going to, after Yontif, we can have a thing who ended later. So just enjoy, if you end at 11, you end at 11. If you end earlier, you end earlier. It doesn't make a difference. You can end at 3. But as long as it's fun and it's engaging, that's the goal of the Seder. So let's go in order. Kadesh really quickly, all the way to the end, to point out a few halachos and to point out a few opportunities this year that I think are unique that I hope you can do at the Seder. Obviously, we have 4 cups of wine. The minhag, the halacha, is that we do not pour for ourselves. We pour for each other. That I'm sure most people do because we are kings. And it's a very important for children as well. We should pour for our children. Our children should pour for us. Everybody should feel like they're a king or queen at the Seder. The size of the cup is a good idea to measure this out before Pesach. The best size, the sheer cup, is about 3.3 ounces. It ranges, but that's what really where the general opinion is. 3.3 ounces is a revius. You have to drink rove of the revius. Okay, rove of the revius. Really, you should drink the whole revius, but you should at least drink rove of the revius. Now, you also should drink most of the cup. So you don't want a cup that is 60 ounces. Don't get one of those big, super big gulps cups because then you have to drink rove of the cup. You want to drink, majority of the cup. So it's better to have a smaller cup that you could drink rove of the cup than a bigger cup. But even though I might have drunk more ounces, I didn't drink the majority of the cup. So you want to drink, you want to find a cup that is a good size and make sure that you drink rove of the cup. Some people, that drink grape juice is 100% allowed. Some people for the first cup do add in a little bit of wine. You do not have to do that if you don't like wine. Some people do that because wine is an aspect of freedom and of chiros. But if you don't like wine or don't do that at all, but that is a minute that some people have, and the rest is obviously grape juice. When we do haseba, this is very important. Haseba is not this. Okay? Now you're thinking he leaned to his right, but it's my left. Haseba is leaning on something. That we did this in the Gemara Shir this year. That means that when I lean Oh, the trendy table, you should know, has cups that are the right size shear, according to Shlomo Zalman. That just popped into my head right now. That you can call the trendy table, you can find them on Instagram, they'll send it to you, okay, good. You're welcome, Lisa. Okay, when you lean on something. That means a pillow, an armrest, or turn in your chair and lean on the chair. You should not just shift your body like this because that's not considered leaning. Right? Leaning means I'm leaning on something. So that's why we have a pillow. That's why we have an armrest or even using the back of the chair to turn. It's very important because if you don't do a seiba properly, then you don't do the mitzvah of a seiba at all. So that gets us through Kiddush. Obviously, we know orchats, we wash our hands, we don't touch vegetables. The vegetables that are dipped in one of seven liquids require netilas yadayim. When we get to karpas, we try halachically whatever we're eating, potato, with radish, celery, some people have cucumbers, interesting minhagim. But when you are eating the karpas, we try to eat a little less than a kazayas. If you ate a little more, I'm not telling you it's the worst thing in the world. We try to eat less than a kazayas. But a major theme this year of the Seder, as unique as this year is Hakaras HaTov. I think one of the things we've realized is how much we do appreciate or what we've taken for granted in our lives. And Rabbi Rimon in his Haggadah says that the Karpas, it's so little. We start with so little, and yet we're already thanking Hashem for it. We start our Seder by thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu even for the little things. Okay. Now we do Kadesh Orchatz Karpas, we break Yachatz, we break the middle matzah. We take the three matzos. The best thing is find a good Haggadah that you have and just follow what the Haggadah says. That's the easiest way. What the Haggadah says, lift, you lift. Cover, you cover. Just follow. We're usually watching the Baal Seder. Whoever is running the Seder is telling us what to do. But if we're on our own, and maybe this is the first time we're running a Seder on our own, follow the guidelines. If you miss an uncovering or covering, you probably should start again. You have to start all the way from the beginning. Check for chametz again. Burn the chametz again. I'm just joking, Alan. You don't have to start again. Okay? But it's okay if you miss something. But just follow the Seder. The Magid now is the most important part. The goal of Magid is not just to share Divrei Torah, but it's to experience leaving Mitzrayim. And the way that we experience leaving Mitzrayim is to tell the story. This is what we do in Magid. There are two mitzvos d'oraisa on the night of the Seder. One is the mitzvah of Sipor Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is it. Magid is Sipor Yetzias Mitzrayim. And there are ways that we do it. There are psukim, there's visual aids. But the best way is to engage everyone around the table. Have candy. It doesn't make a difference how old you are around the table. Have questions prepared. I'm going to share some resources later. Good things, good questions to, good questions to ask or things like that. This is the goal. The other mitzvah of the Oraisa of the Leil HaSeder is the mitzvah of matzah, which we'll get to in a little bit. There are ways to run Magid. Some families, the head of the Seder will say everything and everybody else will just say it, in an undertone together. Some people in my family, we split the paragraphs. Okay, we split, each paragraph a different person says it, kids included. Tunes. Maybe this year you do some tunes you used to do with your family. Maybe if your kids have other tunes they want to do, or you want to try other tunes, it's okay to try other things. Here's the rundown of Magid. Magid begins with Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya is just an important historical note, was added after. The original Haggadah does not have Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya is really where we invited people to eat the Karban Pesach with us. You could not eat the Karban Pesach alone, which is a shocking halacha in terms of this year. The Torah specifically says you celebrate freedom by sharing with others. So the Karban Pesach, the first meal we ate as a free people, was eaten but with each other. You cannot eat it by yourself. We celebrate freedom, the Rav says, with people. This year, unfortunately, there are those that are going to have Seder by themselves. It is very sad and it's very difficult. And we should make sure we call them before, we call them after Pesach. But giving Mo's Chitin. For those that haven't given yet, this year it is absolutely crucial. If you can, I know a lot of people are struggling, but if you can, it is a crucial need this year for funds to help people for the basic necessities. So Halach Ma'anya was added once we got to Bavel and we got to exile. We obviously did not have the Karban Pesach. We weren't able to invite people. So as a reminder of what we did, we invite people in. That's why in Halach Ma'anya we say, Kol Dich V'nyeseh V'yecho. It's a little bit weird to now say, anybody need a meal, when you already are starting your meal. But it was originally instituted as a reminder. And this year specifically, when we start the Seder, I think, when we get to Halach Ma'anya, we should all stop and realize that the goal of Pesach was to share it with as many people. And unfortunately, this year we cannot. Although virtually and we are so well connected and we are showing how much Jews care for each other. But when Pesach comes, there are going to be Jews, families, singles, elderly people that are alone. And we should realize that this year, really, we're asking that by next year, it's called Divchen Yeseh V'yechol. Our home is open. The next year, we should have 1,000 people in our Sedarim. And next year, we should be out in the streets and it should be a joyful time where we're not fearing and trepidation of going anywhere with people. We don't want to walk too close to someone. Next year should be a year of ultimate Dichin Yesei V'yechol. And I think that is a running theme for the Seder this year, is an appreciation of what we have, but also recognition of how much we do care about everybody else. That takes us to, if you're following in Magid, you obviously have Halach Ma'anya, then you get to Manishtana. Manishtana are the questions. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is different than the daily remembering which we do in Shema. Sipur requires a real storytelling, which has question and answers. So, I'm sure you all have your own Menhagim. One person does it, everybody does it. If it takes longer, it takes longer. One thing that I would recommend, sometimes we have a tendency when, especially with if they're little kids or people have Torah, to say, save it for tomorrow night. And then when it comes to the second night, we say, it's late already. I would say if somebody has something they want to say on the first night, let them say it. Everybody's already on edge. Everybody's nervous. If it ends later and you wake up later for Shacharis, I'm not going to tell anybody. But I would say that this year, if someone has something they want to say, as long as it's moving nicely, we should allow for as much engagement as possible. That brings us to Avodah Me'inu. The Seder is structured differently. The Seder, the Magid is structured. We have questions, and then we have the answers. The answers, though, compose an important facet of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The telling of the story, unlike Shema, which we do every day, well, the Gemara says is Maschil Beginus B'Sayim B'Shevach. Starts with bad and ends with good. We then hit Avodah Me'inu. Avodah Me'inu is that it was really bad. It's like Machlokes, Rav, and Shmuel in the Gemara. Where is the bad? From Avodah Me'inu or later from Itchila of the Avodah Zarah? But we do Avodah Me'inu. We talk about how bad things were. We then get to the story of the five rabbis. This story, I think, has enormous implications for our Seder. And I know next week is our Haggadah Divrei Torah Shir. But this story about five rabbis that left their communities. They were alone from their communities. They, Rabbi Tarfo and Elizabeth Ben Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua, they were leaders of towns. They weren't just shul rabbanim. They were communal rabbanim, city rabbanim, tanayim, that left their homes to go to Rabbi Akiva. And one of the suggestions is that they needed hope and inspiration from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, his role of the Seder is more present this year than any other year. Why do they go to Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva, the Shemi Shmuel says, has emunah better than anybody else. Because the Shemi Shmuel says that most people have emunah, what he says, believe. They just believe it's going to be better. That's like most of us. Rabbi Akiva has emunah b'moah. He knows it's going to get better. So they go to Rabbi Akiva because it's Bar Kochva, the Beis Hamidash, it's burning. And the Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing. They needed inspiration. Rabbi Akiva should be at all of our tables. As difficult as it is to celebrate this year, and it might feel awkward, it might feel weird. How do we think the Jews celebrated the first Yom Kippur, the first Pesach after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. When last year they offered the Karma Pesach and there was everybody offered it and there was miracles happening. There were the Kohanim, the Gemara says, was standing in blood because of so many Karbanos. And now it's burning. There's ashes. The Gemara says there was for a long time there was the smell of the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. And now we're going to sit here, Lashana Haba. Now we're going to sit here, Dayenu. We're going to sit here. It's wonderful. We're free. How is that possible? And Rabbi Akiva's role in the Seder itself is a way to provide us with hope and optimism. Nobody dealt with it more than Rabbi Akiva. He was the first Pesach, and he says, and I'll share at the end of Magid where this comes up again, but we need him at our Seder. Our Seder should be full of song and Divrei Torah and excitement and energy and positivity, because that's what Rabbi Akiva did. He knew it would get better. Rabbi Akiva's there in the first Yom Kippur. They went to Rabbi Akiva and they said, Rabbi Akiva, how is it possible? Last Yom Kippur, we had the Avodah and we had the two goats and the Kohen and the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Mara Kohen, and now it's burning. And Rabbi Akiva's answer, the Mishnah tells us in Yuma, is Ashreichem Yisrael. Ah, Lefnei Mi Aten Mitzaharim. What do you mean you could talk directly to God? When we think we're at a complete loss, Rabbi Akiva tells us it's not just a loss, but because Rabbi Akiva looks at tragedy and says, I'm going to grow stronger, the rabbis went to visit him. These rabbis left their communities. They were alone. They used him as inspiration to get better. So we need Rabbi Akiva at our Seder this year more than ever. We then get to the four children, showing us how important this mitzvah is of telling the story. You have the story of the rabbis, the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Then you get to the four children, which is followed. The four children represent the four sources in the Torah to tell the story over. You then, if you want to, you know, point to which people at your table you think are the Chacham, the Rasha, or the Tam. It's up to you. It's a cute game. I'm sure it won't cause any anxiety or any frustration. It will just be positive. Okay? When we were growing up, it was very easy with me and my sisters to know who was the Tam and the Ana Yodei Elishal. It was clear. They were both of them. Okay? They weren't the Rasha, but they were both of them. Then you get to Vehisha Amda. In Vehisha Amda, you'll follow along in the Haggadah. You pick up the cup. And another beautiful idea, although again, we're going to do more Haggadah next week. The Chidah says that when it says Shalo Echad Bilvad, I've shared this before, but I think it's so crucial for this year. Shalo Echad Bilvad doesn't mean that not in one generation they wanted to kill us, but in all generations, it means Shalo Echad Kama. When we are not one, Bilvad Amar Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. The people can kill us and wipe us out. When we are unified, and we should take a lot of inspiration from this. There is so much happening in terms of Achdus of Klal Yisrael right now. I'm not saying that's why anything happened. Chas v'chalila. But the same way Racheli Franco said that she doesn't know why things happen, and she doesn't think her son had to be kidnapped and murdered, but she says it was clear that Achdus was an important result, and she is very open about that. But we are seeing, not just amongst organizations that never really ever talk to each other and get along in terms of Piskei Halacha, Lakewood, Aguda, the OU, the RCA, Rabbinical Alliance, Israel. Okay, there are factions. I don't need every email, you know, from this rabbi in Israel who said this or who said that. You find a tremendous amount of working together. You have organizations, food deliveries. You have people looking out for other people, neighborhood watches, checking ins, calling ins, delivering food, shopping. When we say Vehisha Amda, and we say that when people aren't unified, they can come get us, we should take inspiration from what's happening around the world today. We don't know why things are happening, but we at least can see the tremendous unity of Jews working together. So after Vehisha Amda, that takes us really, if you skip a little bit, it takes us to, these are the key psukim, Arami Oved Avi. Now I know in most of the Siddurim, when we get to Rami Oved Avi, at least in our Seder, and when I grew up, all right, these are the psukim, let's go. And you sort of read them really fast. And that's okay, but you should, before you get to start reading them, take a minute just to share with the table. The Rami Oved Avi psukim were taken as the text of the Haggadah. When the Baal Haggadah was looking for what text should I use, what psukim can I use for the Haggadah, he chose these psukim of Arami Oved Avi. The reason being that when a person brought his bikurim, his first fruits, It was a major, major. The Mishnah says a major parade. They dance him in the streets. When you brought your Maaser and your Truma, no one said a word. But your Bikurim, because you had faith that more would come, everybody stopped. Everybody stopped. They brought their Bikurim. And when you got to the Kohen with your few apples, you had this whole long story of thank you, Hashem, and you wanted to, people wanted to kill us, but we're still here. And therefore, the Baal HaGadah said, that's the text that I'm going to choose. Because that text is something, therefore, that is about Hakaras HaTov. The Rambam, in only two places, talks about Hakaras HaTov. Mitzvah of Bikurim and the Mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the goal of the Seder. The goal of the Seder is Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that's what we do with the Rami Oved Avi. You then get to the Makos. Go online. Find some good Makos things. You know, there's some great, I think I have still in YU Torah, I'll check. We did 2 weeks in the women's parasha class about what happened in the Makos. Some crazy things that happened in the Makos. I'll share with them next week a few things that you can share, you know, at the table. But the Makos were God's way of introducing himself to the world. The Makos, and as I told my students today, I gave them a big secret. As a teacher, you're not supposed to tell secrets. My secret was you can share Torah that's Seder related at a lunch meal. It's okay. So if you have something amazing about the Makos, it's a great question to ask at a lunch. Why does God need all these Makos? How is one Makkah different than the other Makos? What was the unique role of each individual Makkah? Okay, that takes us through the Makos, and you can read through in the Haggadah. You then get to Rabbi Gamliel. If for some reason, and hope no one is feeling ill, but if someone is ill and they can't stay at the whole Seder, at least make sure to say Rabbi Gamliel. You need Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. You have to make sure you say those three things in the paragraphs that follow. That is very key. Following the, you know, the end of the Seder with you know, obviously you had Dayenu and everything else, but as you get to the end, you have a little bit of Hallel, and then you had the Bracha of Rabbi Akiva. And if you give me just 1 second, I want to just share with you, because I mentioned about Rabbi Akiva, and I think it is so crucial, this piece about Rabbi Akiva's role. Give me 1 second, I'm going to share with you. Hold on. 1 second. Okay. I'll share my screen with you here so we can see the bracha together. Hold on. Here we go. Okay, so here you have the end of Magid. You have Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Here you have the final bracha. So you have a little bit of Hallel. Hallel is split into two pieces. We know at the Seder a little bit now. And then again at the end of the Seder. But this bracha right here. Now, the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us in Mesechtos Pesachim, that it's actually a debate between Rabbi Akiva and his Rebbe, Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon would not want to say. He just said, Hashem redeemed us, and that was it. V'lo haya chosein. He wouldn't finish this whole bracha. Rabbi Tarfon is one of the rabbis that travels to Rabbi Akiva's table. Rabbi Akiva, though, says, this bracha we say. This is how we paskin halacha. This is what we do. He says, and now imagine living in the generations following the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He says that Hashem redeemed us out of Mitzrayim. And then he's going to be Giyano Laila Hazeh to eat matzah and maror. But not just that. Hashem will do not only that, Yageno Lamoadim for Lagalim Acherim. He'll bring us to more Yamim Tovim. Smechem, not just Yamim Tovim in exile, but eventually, Menochal Sham, we're going to go to Yerushalayim. We're going to eat Karbanos. And we're going to sing to you there, Baruch Adah Hashem Goal Yisrael. This is not just, yeah, okay, we'll be redeemed. We're going to be redeemed. We're going to have it again. We'll have it better the next time. This is where Rabbi Akiva shows up, not just here, but he shows up again at the end of Magid. It's very, very important. Okay, just briefly to go through the rest of the Seder. But again, I think it's important to spend a little bit of time going through Magid, thinking about it. What are we doing? How do we want to engage people? What are questions we want to ask? Think about it beforehand. The rest, obviously, is when we get to, we wash our hands, Motzi Matzah. I'll hopefully send out later this week or next week a sheer measurement. We try to be Machmir for the Leila Seder. So basically, we require for Motzi Matzah, Nafi Koman. And again, I'll put this all out in an email, but you don't have to remember it now. we try at least half a shmura matzah. Half a shmura matzah for motzi matzah, and half a shmura matzah later for afikomen. That is the that is what's preferred. We try not to talk really from motzi matzah through even korech, definitely through maror, because it's really one part of one long mitzvah. That's why it's really a good idea to divide it up now. Not now, but Erev Pesach, put it in bags. Make the transition once you get to motzi matzah easy. So you're not spending so much time when you get to motzi matzah trying to give out all these different shurim for people. They should have a little bit of your matzah, but you should also be able to just give it out. Then we get to maror, the romaine lettuce. There's a shear for that as well, a certain size, which we'll send out. And then the korech, just follow the instructions in your Haggadah. Shulchan Orech should be done with a little bit of Torah as well. Safon, when we get to the Afikoman, just Aliza Frank also wants to know that she has a beautiful laminated. You can, do you want me, I can show it right now. Hold on a second. There we go. You can buy that. She will. She might even be giving them away for free. I haven't heard. The first 25 callers after 11 p.m. get them for free. Okay. All right. So let's move on. But I just want to share something about the Afikoman. The Afikoman. Oh, maybe we should do a raffle. It's a good idea. We'll do a raffle. Thank you, Aliza, for offering and Michael for suggesting, and we'll go from there. When we talk about the Afikoman, I just want to share one thought about the Afikoman. So obviously every family has a different minhag. Some children hide it. Some parents hide it. When I was a kid, my father didn't hide it because he was a CPA and he was exhausted. But the source for hiding it is fascinating. On the night we left Mitzrayim, the Torah says that man and woman were not allowed to leave. Because if you left, you were going to get killed. So because God was wiping out the firstborns. The Torah, though, does not say that kids couldn't leave. So who collected all of the money and all of the goods of the Egyptians? We went during Choshech to find it, but we didn't collect it during darkness. We took it on Leil HaSeder, when we left. Who did that? One idea is the kids did it. The kids were the ones who took it. So that's why this whole idea of Afikoman presence, and as my in-laws are watching, I'm hoping even if we can't have Seder together, there'll still be Afikoman presence. But there's a real source for it. And if you don't do it, it could be violating an Isser D'Oraisa. Let's continue. So obviously we have benching. Following benching, so we'll scroll through here. We drink the third cup. Then we have the fourth cup. Always again, we have Shvoch HaMascha. And then you have Hallel. One important piece about Hallel. One important piece about Shvoch HaMascha. In the Kosho Elio, one of my great mentors, Rabbi Mark Penner, has a great shiur online that he just gave the other day about Eliyahu HaNavi. And again, why Eliyahu it needs to be at our Seder. Eliyahu represents hope, optimism, redemption. And that again is an important piece for us this year. And then we get to Hallel. One thing about Hallel. This Hallel that we say here is not just Hallel like regular. And speaking of which, we're going to do a Zoom Hallel Thursday morning for Rosh Chodesh. It's gonna be really festive. I'm not going to be playing guitar, but there'll be some musical accompaniment. We'll figure that out. Might just be my boys. But this Hallel, after we finish right here, when we finish our regular Hallel, it's called Hallel HaMitzri. We then go ahead with Hallel. Thank you, Hallel HaGadol. This is Hallel HaGadol. Hallel HaGadol is said at the Seder. And also on Shabbos morning. Hallel HaGadol is referring to something in which it's not just that God can do amazing things, he can do amazing things for me. There are two aspects to Emunah. One, that I believe God could do everything, and I believe that God could do them all, and he'll do them all for me. When the Jews believed after the Yamsuf, Vayaminu Bahashem, because they believe not just in God, but they believe that God will do things for each individual Jew. There is no other night like Leil HaSeder. It's a night in which we think about Hashem and our Emunah in God. There, Rabbi Matasio Solomon from Lakewood says, no other night we talk about faith in God other than Leil HaSeder. So it should be a time in which we really think about it at this point. I do think an important exercise for the next 2 weeks. There is something you can look online. It's called a gratitude journal. A gratitude journal is a journal diary in which you record different little things that you did. In fact, in the eighth grade right now, we're doing these things, where every day the eighth graders are sharing things that they did for someone else, things that they appreciated more, little tidbits. It is a good idea to start a gratitude journal now. Don't wait till Leila Seder to ask who has something they want to be thankful for. Start a gratitude journal. Give it to your kids. Show them online. It's easy. They can have their own piece of paper. They can jot five things down between now and Pesach or one thing a day. Don't have anybody share anything until Leila Seder. And then at the Seder itself, either at Hallel, at the meal, or at Shulchan Aruch, or at a lunch meal, people could share something that they had on their gratitude journal. And I'm telling you, the answers are fascinating. I see it in my students right now. Things that we are, if you were to run this exercise on a so-called regular, normal year, which my father-in-law doesn't like that term, but a year without a pandemic, the answers would be the same. Family and health, which are all good. The answers that I'm getting now are so specific. I appreciate the following things. A kid told me today he appreciates toilet paper. Okay, now, and he wasn't joking. So I sold him a roll for $50. But it's a great suggestion. I think we can't go, this year's Seder is balanced. It can't just be that we go to the Seder and we pretend like it's not a year where, stop screen sharing for a second. We can't pretend that it's a year where we're starting for a Seder and there is not a pandemic that is going across the world. I think that's, it's not foolish, but we can't pretend what's happening around us. At the same time, we can't let it control our Seder. We can't let it that whatever we're doing, we're only talking about it and we're only complaining and we're only saying, I wish it wasn't and I wish it was this. We're trying now to use terms like school's not closed, school's just online. We don't using terms that are just about how terrible things are, but we have to balance it. And I think one thing that we can do is use the challenges that we're having and express them in the Seder. And whether that is in expressing the hope and optimism of Rabbi Akiva, how did Rabbi Akiva do it? How did he get through all those difficult times? How did he manage that emunah, right? So let's do some research, Rabbi Akiva. Gratitude journals. There are things that we, for sure, it doesn't mean that we're making light of what's happening around the world, but we are appreciating outside our health, stores, doctors, nurses, whoever, gedolim. There are things that we appreciate more. I didn't realize how much I appreciated soap and how much I appreciated going to the doctor, whatever it is. There are specific answers that kids and adults are giving. So if we set that up now and then we say, listen, this year at the table, we're going to share this. We're going to do this. Or what suggestions do you have for the Seder this year? What ideas do you think we can share with the Seder? Have a meeting next week or this week around the dinner table. How can we make the Seder exciting? Who has a game they want to play? Who has a suggestion of what they want to do? Even if it's just one, two people, 10 people, 7 people, try and I think work harder. Our routines are all thrown off for everything. And the Seder is going to be something that if we had a routine, I always went here, I always sang this song. Those are important. We should make sure to maintain certain routines. But it is not going to be routine. And we have to balance those feelings and those emotions as we go through the Seder. Then obviously, the rest of the Seder, we finish with the Nirtzal, Lashon Haba, and all the songs at the end. And that leads us really through the whole Seder. But I do believe that the Seder this year does provide an opportunity to think about Hakaras HaTov, to think about Emunah, to think about faith, and prepare a little bit, not just from the halachic side, the matzah, the maror, but how can I make sure my whole Seder, not just Magen, my whole Seder is run in a smooth, engaged, even if it ends at 10:30, 11 o'clock. But we left feeling like we did something, like that was fun. We didn't know what it was going to be like, but it ended up being really, really different and really unique and really special. And that's what I wanted to share with you tonight, just some tidbits, some suggestions. If you have any things you'd like to share, I am happy to take those and share them publicly or, share them individually. I don't know if we want to go around now sharing them. You can text them to me or WhatsApp them to me. But I didn't get any WhatsApps except one, which I'll answer, or a few, which I'll answer individually. But that's what I wanted to share tonight. So I will unmute everybody.
Thank you.
Whatever was on the counter, I
put that back. Oh, here's on the counter. Thank you. Everybody, a good night. Thank you very much for joining.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.